Okay, good evening, everyone. And so the past couple of weeks, because it was Hanukkah, we were going through Al Hanisim. Now we'll go back to the Shemona Esrei that we were discussing until now. And we were in the middle of discussing the first blessing of Shemona Esrei, the blessing that's called Avos Fathers, which ends Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, Blessed are you Hashem, Shield of Avraham. And we already did part of it, and now we'll do the rest of it. And we're up to the point of the Shemona Esrei, where the Shemona Esrei reads, V'zocher chastei avos. Hashem remembers the chastei, the kindnesses, or the piety of the forefathers. So, in the beginning of the blessing, we mentioned that we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, bless you Hashem, our God, the God of our fathers, God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, God of Yaakov, the God who is great, powerful, and awesome, supreme God, who does acts of kindness that are good, and who creates everything. And now we're up to V'zoicher chastei avos, and he remembers the piety or the kindnesses of the fathers. U'mevi goel l'vnei v'neihem, and he brings a redeemer to the children of their children. L'man shemoi b'yahava, with his name, for the sake of his name, with love. So when we say the words V'zoicher chastei avos, Hashem remembers the kindnesses of the forefathers. So what we're doing here is we're invoking what we call Zechus Avos, the merit of the fathers, right? And very often in our own prayers, we invoke the merit of our forefathers, which is what we're doing in this blessing. We know that when Moshe Rabbeinu davened on behalf of the Jewish people after the sin of the golden calf, he invoked the merit of the forefathers. This is something that we commonly find. And it's important to understand what exactly is this concept of the merit of our forefathers, of the schus of us. So Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner, as I've been using his book on the Shemona Esrei in explaining much of this, he explains it in the following way. And that is that whenever we invoke the merit of our forefathers, we're not basically just using pull. You know, invoking our forefathers isn't invoking pull. You know, we have pull by God because we had grandfathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they had it in with God. So we have pull. So therefore, when we need something, we can go ahead and pray in the merit of our forefathers and be answered, which might sound like we don't really, which does sound like we may not have the merits. But if we invoke the merits of our forefathers, even though we don't have any merits, that will get us places. That'll get us where we need to go. You know, we call that protexia. Okay? We may not have the merit, but because we had a grandfather with pull, therefore, we have our in. Rabbi Kirzner says that's not the way to look at it. You can't look at it as just that, you know, we're getting a free ride because we had a grandfather that had an in with God. That's not the way to look at it. Rather, the way to look at it is the following. And he builds this up from the writings of the Ramban, but I'll just first say the concept. The concept that he explains is that invoking the merit of our forefathers means to say that because we are the descendants of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so we innately have their great qualities. They passed on to us their greatness. The great qualities that they possessed, they passed on to us. And because they passed it on to us, we have the potential to reach levels of their greatness. So even though right now we're not worthy based on our own actions, but look at our potential. Look at the potential that we have. We have, because we're the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we have the potential to turn things around and come back to you, Hashem, and to reach high levels of closeness to you. So look at that. Don't look at our actions that we lack right now. Look at the potential that we have from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They reached great heights. They were the greatest people in Jewish history. And because we are their descendants and have within our genes the ability to rise to their greatness, look at our potential, we say to Hashem. But there's a condition. There's a very important condition. If we want to be able to invoke the merit of our forefathers, which means we want to be able to say to Hashem, look at the potential that we have, that we've inherited, the greatness we've inherited from Av Yitzchak and Yaakov. There's a condition that's important. There's a condition for that. And the Ramban and Rabbi Kurzner bring this out from the writings of the Ramban. The Ramban points out that when the Jewish people sinned after the golden calf, Hashem wanted to destroy them. And Moshe prayed for them. Now Moshe invoked the idea that if the Jewish people are going to be cut down, they're going to be destroyed, it's going to be a desecration of Hashem's name. But we know that at that point, he also, when he was praying that the Jewish people shouldn't be destroyed, we know that he invoked Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their merits. The next time that Moshe Rabbeinu had to daven for the Jewish people was after the sin of the golden calf. After the sin of the spies. The sin of the spies, again, Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people. Moshe prayed. They weren't destroyed, but they had to go through the desert for 40 years. And that whole generation would die out. They weren't destroyed as a people. As a people, they would continue. But that generation, between 20 and 60, that was there at that time, they would die out. When Moshe davened for the Jewish people not to be destroyed by the sin of the spies, he invoked the fact that if you, Hashem, destroy the Jewish people, then the Egyptians and other people are going to say that basically you were strong enough to take them out of Egypt, but you're not strong enough to get them into the land of Israel, and therefore what you do, you kill them. That would be a desecration of Hashem's name, and therefore that was Moshe's argument to Hashem, you can't destroy the Jewish people. But by the sin of the spies, Moshe did not invoke Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He did not invoke the merit of the forefathers. Why? Why after the sin of the golden calf did he invoke the merit of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? But when it came to the sin of the spies, he didn't. So the Ramban explains that the reason he didn't is because Eretz Yisrael by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was the greatest gift that Hashem promised, gave them and his descendants. Eretz Yisrael, they knew that was the ultimate level of how they can come close to Hashem. They would, of course, receive the Torah, live with it in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was a tremendous gift to them, and they valued it tremendously. The Jewish people, by the sin of the spies, clearly showed that they didn't value Eretz Yisrael like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, says the Ramban, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have invoked the merits of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that would have been an indictment on the Jewish people. Because Hashem would say, you're invoking Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and their descendants aren't living up to the things that they valued. And therefore, Moshe didn't invoke the merit of the fathers at that point of time. Because if the Jewish people didn't value what the others valued, which was Eretz Yisrael, how can he now daven for them when they rejected Eretz Yisrael? So what you see from the Ramban is that, number one, you see that we are able to invoke the merit of our forefathers if we live up to their level. If we live up to them, we will be able to have their merit. And the point of that is that, again, as we said before, we are bestowed through our being the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we inherit the potential for their greatness. But we can only be judged by that potential greatness that we inherited from our forefathers if we value their greatness. If what they valued and what made them great, if we value what they value, then we can say to Hashem, look at the potential that we inherited from them. But if we don't value it, then we can't use it. And therefore, we have to understand that when we in the Shemona Esrei invoke the merit of the forefathers, and we say to Hashem, remember their greatness, and even though we don't have the actions to be worthy of your blessings, see the potential that we have from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, see the potential greatness that we have from them, and look at that, look at our potential. Don't look at our actions right now, look at our potential. But the only way that we could actually ask Hashem to look at the potential of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is if we try to live up to it.
If we
have the potential. The question is, are we going to try to use that potential? Do we value that potential? If we reject that potential because we don't have any interest in living the lives like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did, then we can't ask, then we cannot use, then we can't daven in the merit of our forefathers. So therefore, when we say in the Shemona Esrei, V'zoichar chastei aveis, Hashem remembers the pi, the chasadim, the kindnesses of the forefathers, and we'll explain soon what kindnesses means in this context, but if we want to daven and invoke the merit of our forefathers, then what we're doing here is, again, is not asking for a free ride, because they have an in with God. We have pull. That's not what we're asking for. We're not talking about we have pull. We're saying to Hashem, look, remember the greatness of Avraham and Yaakov. See the potential of that greatness that we have in us. And judge us by the potential, not by our actual actions. That's what we're saying when we invoke the merit of our forefathers. But in order to be able to invoke that, and for that to count for us, for Hashem to actually look at the potential that we have, it's necessary for us to value that potential that we have from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And if we reject their values, then their merits don't help. Then the potential that we have isn't something that Hashem is going to judge us by. Okay, so that is the meaning behind davening in the merit of the forefathers, what we call schus avos, the merit of the fathers.
Question. When Agar told Ishmael in desert, and angel asked, he will be enemy of Jews, don't help him.
Right.
And God answered, no, I'm looking at what's now, not potential in the future. I'm looking at what's now.
Right.
And I judge it for what is it now.
Right. I judge his innocence now. I won't judge his guilt by later.
Guilt will be in the future, in the potential.
I won't look at the guilt. Right.
In potential.
Right, in the guilt.
Why hinder potential here?
Because why here? Because here we're asking Hashem to judge us kindly based on our potential. There, the angels wanted Yishmael, who was now innocent, to be judged as guilty because of what his descendants would do in the future.
Yeah.
Here, we're asking Hashem to judge us now by the potential that we have now for good.
Potential now, not in the future, just in
the... Well, again, the potential for Yishmael was also present, but the point is, Hashem doesn't judge us by our potential for bad. He'll judge us by our potential for good. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Hashem is not going to bypass the innocence of Yishmael now for the potential of evil that he has later. And perhaps, like you say, it's more about his descendants than about him. That could be another factor. But here, we're asking Hashem to judge us based on, or to have mercy on us, based on the potential for good that we have.
What is prevailing, human being? Potential to good, potential to bad.
Hashem always judges us in a more positive way.
But theoretically, we have both potential.
Yeah, we do. But the point is that knowing that Hashem judges us in a more kindly manner, we can ask Hashem to look at the potential that we have now, if we are interested in trying to build that potential.
Even we have a lot of...
Right. The whole point is, even though right now, based on our actions, we're not worthy, but based on our potential, and a potential, and what kind of potential? The potential of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay. Very good. Now, the next thing is, what does it mean that Hashem remembers chasdei avos, the kindnesses of the fathers? Now, we know Avraham did acts of kindness. He was famous for that. Yitzchak and Yaakov aren't well known for their kindnesses. I'm sure they were kind people. I'm sure they did kindnesses to people. But they're not known for their kindnesses. So what does it mean? But here we're talking about the kindnesses of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what does that mean exactly? And therefore, in this context, chasdei avos, a lot of times you'll find, let's see, this is Russian. A lot of times in the Siddurim, in the English translation, they'll translate as chasdei avos, as the piety of the fathers. Because actually the word chesed, which we use for kindness, is the word that's also used to talk about going beyond the letter of the law. When you go beyond the letter of the law, that's the root of the word chesed. Chesed, when we call a person a chesed in the Mishnah or the Gemara, that means a pious individual, a person who does things beyond the letter of the law. So in this context, chasdei, which means beyond the letter of the law, it's also related to the word kindness, is what we mean here by the chasdei, the kindnesses of the piety of the forefathers. And what that means is, thank you. They translated as the kindnesses of the patriarchs. Okay, but either way, the explanation is going to be the same. And the way Rabbi Kirzner explains here is that what we have to understand is that although, you know, we have a Gemara in Kedushin that says, what's better, to be commanded to do a mitzvah and do the mitzvah, or not to be commanded to do the mitzvah and do the mitzvah? Which is better? Which is greater? Who's greater? The person who's commanded to do and does, or the person who's not commanded to do, and even so, he still does?
How does he know it's a mitzvah?
Because he knows he's not commanded, but he knows, like a woman. A woman has a mitzvah, she knows they exist, but she's not commanded. So what's bigger, to do a mitzvah that you're not commanded to do, or to do a mitzvah that you're commanded to do? No, so the Gemara says it's a mitzvah, the person who is commanded is greater. Yeah. What's the explanation behind that? You know, some say it's because once you're commanded, then the evil inclination goes after you and tries to stop you. If you're not commanded, he doesn't get so much involved with you. If you are commanded, that's when the Yetzer starts up. But we're not going to get into that right now. But we are going to touch on something right on touch on this subject right now, because Rabbi Kirzner explains that the greatness of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov was the fact that they were so dedicated to the will of Hashem, although they weren't commanded. Right? The only commandments that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had were seven mitzvahs. They didn't have to do anything more than that. They were like any other person before the Torah was given. They have seven commandments that they have to keep. Okay, he had an eighth, he had an extra one, he got bris milah. But beyond that, they didn't have to do anything more. But we know that Av, Mitzvah, and Yaakov kept everything of the Torah. There's a lot of discussion how much, when. But at the end of the day, they were dedicated to the will of Hashem beyond what they had to do. And why did they go beyond what they had to do? Because they knew what Hashem wanted. Although Hashem had not, you know, a lot of times you're not going to tell someone you have to do something. You know, your parent wants something, right? They're not obligating you to do it, but you know they would like that. So it's a great sign of respect if you do what they want, even though you weren't obligated to do, because that shows that what do you really want? You really want to make them happy. You really want to fulfill their will. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov's greatness was the fact that they were so dedicated to doing the will of Hashem because of their love of Hashem. Even though they weren't obligated, although they only had seven mitzvahs, they did much more and way beyond that. Why? Because of their recognition, their reverence, their awe, and love of Hashem. They knew what Hashem's will was, what Hashem wanted, and because they knew what Hashem wanted, that's why they did it. It wasn't because they had to do what Hashem says, you have to do it. They did it because they wanted to do it. They wanted to do what Hashem wants. In their greatness, they were able to know what the Torah says. By knowing, they knew what the Torah says, because the Torah existed before the world was created. That will of Hashem that's expressed in the Torah, that will was existing even before Hashem gave the Torah at Har Sinai. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the generations beforehand, knew what the Torah said. They knew what Hashem's will essentially is, and they did it with the highest level of devotion because they knew this was the will of Hashem. That is what we mean by chasdei. Why is it called a chesed, a kindness? Because a kindness means I'm doing something for you that I may not even be obligated to do, but I'm doing it for you. Or as we said before, the word chesed can be going beyond the letter of the law. Hashem remembers, when Hashem remembers the avos, when he remembers the merit of the avos, he looks at our potential is the fact that we have this, the Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had a tremendous desire to do the will of Hashem. Whether Hashem asked them to do it or not, they knew what Hashem's will was, and that's what they wanted to do. That's what their entire being and essence and desire in life was. And that was their greatness. And if we are davening, as we said before, for the potential that they put in us, what that means is that the same way Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their entire essence was to do the will of Hashem, that means that innately we want to do the desire of, our desire is to do what Hashem wants. The problem is we have a Yetzer Hara. We have an inclination. We get very confused. what is exactly that we really want in life. But actually, we have inherited from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov a desire. It's part of our nature, part of our essence as Jews. We want to do the will of Hashem. And that, and if we're not even thinking about it like that, deep down in our neshamas, that is what we want. That is what we inherited from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That is the potential that we say to Hashem, look what we have from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's what we pray that Hashem should look at. An example to show that we have this innate desire to do the will of Hashem is from a famous writing of the Rambam that we've mentioned here a number of times, and that is the following. The halacha is there are certain situations where a man is obligated to divorce his wife. Now, according to Torah law, a man has to consent to divorce his wife. A woman, according to Torah law, you don't need her consent. You need her consent she has to basically realize she's receiving the bill of divorce. But if she doesn't want to get divorced, but she receives the bill of divorce, and she realizes she's receiving it, according to Torah law, she's divorced. Later on, it was instituted that you don't do that either. You can't force a woman into a divorce. But there is a halacha, even according to Torah law, to force a man into divorce under certain circumstances. Certain circumstances that a woman cannot stay married to a man, and he has to divorce her. The sage has said, you have to divorce her. And if he says, I'm not divorcing her, either because he still loves her and he doesn't want to give her up, or he doesn't want to divorce her because he is a rotten scoundrel, but at the end of the day, he's trying to take advantage because, hey, you need my consent in order for the get to be given. Bez Din has permission to use all means possible in order to convince him to give the get. Now, I'm not getting into present-day practices, but they didn't, rabbinical courts have the power to do so, but according to the letter of the law, you can send a friend of yours who's about 6'8", 350 pounds, and he'll use his influences, his convincing abilities to convince the husband to give a get to his wife. And even though the guy was saying beforehand, no way I'm not giving the get, right? And then he gets a few knocks and he says, all right, I'll give her a get. Okay, it works. It's a good get. It's a kosher divorce. Now the question is, how does that work? You know he really doesn't want. And the only reason he's saying yes is because he doesn't want to get his neck broken. So he really doesn't want. So how can we say, according to Torah law, that the man is divorcing his wife? You must have the man's consent. There's no question about it. You have to have his consent. And you don't have it. Why? Because after the guy beat him to a pulp, he said, all right, that's called consent? Says the Rambam, do you know what beating him to a pulp does? Beating him to a pulp allows him to get back to his true inner self. Because the true inner self of every Jew, says the Rambam, is to follow the dictates of the Torah, including listening to the sages, including listening to the rabbis. That is what innately, deep down, every Jew wants. And if at the end he's saying he doesn't want to do it, it's because, again, we have a Yetzirah, we have an evil inclination, he confuses us, we don't know, he convinces us what we want, even though deep down we want something else, he convinces us, no, this is what you want. And when you beat him down, and you beat down what you're beating down is those forces that confuse a person and allow his true inner self to come out. And therefore, yes, he is consenting. He may be saying, yeah, all right, and he just wants to get the beating done. He wants to stop the beating, okay? It doesn't look like he wants, but the Torah is saying what he's saying there at that point of time, perhaps whether he realizes or not, he's really expressing deep down as a Jew with a Yiddish and neshama what he really does want. And we're breaking him away from the confusion of the Yetzer, of the evil inclination. But that's the example that's used to show that innately we want to do Hashem's desire. Where did that come from? That came from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that's what it means, the chaste avos, the piety, the kindnesses of the fathers. It means that they went beyond the letter of the law. their entire, beyond the law, in the sense that they weren't obligated to serve Hashem at the level that they did. But they did because they wanted to do Hashem's will. That is what they wanted. They knew the will of Hashem because that's what the Torah expresses. They knew what it was, and they lived by that and totally dedicated themselves to fulfill the will of Hashem out of love. And that is what we have inherited from them, and that's the potential that we are invoking when we invoke the Schus Abbas, the merits of our forefathers.
What we're saying is it lays dormant
right.
in you.
Correct. That's
it's
correct.
It's there.
That's
you don't
correct.
Know it's there. Wherever you grow up,
that's correct. That is correct.
But
now, the bracha continues that he remembers the chas, the avais, the kindnesses of the fathers, who may be goel, he brings a redeemer, right? The ultimate redemption right away. That's the right. One of the first things that we're mentioning in the Shemona Esrei is the world coming to its perfect, to its true state with the coming of Mashiach. And he brings a redeemer, Livnei v'nehem, to the children of their children, again, to the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Leman Shemoi b'yahava, for the sake of his name with love. So we have two things here. We have the concept of for the sake of his name, and then we have with love. So what does it mean for the sake of his name? So for the sake of his name means that first we actually invoke the Schus Abbas, the merits of the forefathers, which we explain to mean that we're invoking, we're asking Hashem, look at our potential. But as we said before, we can only ask Hashem to look at our potential if we value the way of life of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And there are going to be times that we're not going to live by that. We're not going to live by the values of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which means we don't have our own actions. We cannot ask Hashem to look at our potential because we don't value the potential that we had from that we received from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And nonetheless, there is still a chance. There's still going to be a goel. There's still going to be a redeemer. Hashem is still going to bring Mashiach. Why? Lama'an Shmo, for the sake of His name. And this is a concept that we find, as we mentioned before, that when the Jewish people deserve to be destroyed after the sin of the golden calf, after the sin of the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbeinu Shalaylam, if you destroy them, then your name will be desecrated. Because then everything that was accomplished through the exit, through the miracles of the Exodus of Egypt, from the splitting of the Red Sea, from what happened, what's been going on in the desert, all of that is going to be lost. All of your greatness recognized in the world is going to be lost when you destroy the Jewish people. Because, again, people are going to, the nations, the world are going to say that you couldn't bring them in. You could overpower the forces of Egypt, but you couldn't overpower the forces of Canaan. And therefore, you know, so you got rid of them because, you know, you couldn't, you found an excuse to get rid of them because you couldn't get the job done. So that is; those are two examples where the Jewish people had no merit to on their own, and as we said before with the Ramban, but the sin of the spies, they couldn't even invoke the merit of the father of their forefathers. But the reason why Hashem spared them is for the sake of His name. There shouldn't be a desecration of His name, and we know that there's the same and the same concept applies here. When we talk about Umevi Goel, and he brings a redeemer, there is a point of time where the Jewish people don't have their own merits. They cannot live. They cannot use the merits of their fathers, as we explained. But there's still a merit. The merit is for the sake of Hashem's name. And in this, Rabbi Kurzner adds something very interesting. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly how to explain it. But the way he seems to explain it is that even when we get to a point where Hashem is redeeming us for the sake of His name, which, you know, I always thought that means, you know, the Jewish people, we know that if the Jewish people do tshuva, it's possible, if the Jewish people do tshuva at the proper level, through tshuva they can bring Mashiach. Then there's a point of time where the Jewish people haven't done tshuva, but Mashiach has the time, Rebbeinu Shlom knows that the time when Mashiach has to come. And when that comes, Mashiach will come, everybody will recognize Hashem, And Hashem's name will be sanctified.
It's
almost like that's going to happen without the Jewish people, so to speak. You know, they'll be involved. And maybe they'll be involved because of this, the merits of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But it's almost like going to be this. I'm just saying what my understanding always was. It's going to be a sanctification of God's name when Mashiach comes, but it won't be really with the participation of the Jewish people on their part as much as being, so to speak, the vehicles of the redemption. You know, who the redemption happens to, how the redemption happens to sanctify Hashem's name. But not that there is necessarily, not that there's necessarily something happening on their part. But he seems to be saying that even at that point where Hashem is bringing Mashiach for his own name, which means in order for his name not to be desecrated, it's not just that his name shouldn't be desecrated. It's also because the way Hashem's name is sanctified is through the Jewish people, which means at some level, we're going to have to be doing some kind of tshuva. We're going to have to be doing something. There's going to have to be something on our part that sanctifies Hashem's name, that with Mashiach, we have the ultimate sanctification of Hashem's name. But again, it's not like we're done, we messed up, there's nothing for us to do, but Mashiach's going to come anyway. Mashiach is going to come because Hashem's name needs to be sanctified, and Hashem's name is sanctified through the Jewish people's actions. There's something on their part. Now again, why are the Jewish people meriting to be, to at the end of the day, be the ones that the sanctification of Hashem's name, Mashiach, comes, happens? Why does it have to come through them? That's a reward to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But at the end of the day, it's going to have to be something. And maybe with Hashem's help. Hashem's going to help us do tshuva. He's going to help us do something. Do something in a way that we are performing the sanctification of Hashem's name, that again, with the coming of Mashiach, brings that ultimate sanctification of Hashem's name. But again, it's not like we're out of the picture. We messed up. Hashem is going to bring the Mashiach, and we're just going to, you know, come along for the ride. There's something about us that Hashem, there'll have to be a point where Hashem, so to speak, coaxes us, brings something out of us that we should be sanctifying His name as Mashiach arrives and brings the ultimate redemption. Okay. At the same time, it's a pasuk that we say He does it laman shemai, for the sake of His name, bi'ahava, with love, which means one might think that at the end of the day the redemption comes without our merits and without our ability to invoke the merits of the forefathers. And it's only because of the sanctification of Hashem's name. It's only for Hashem's name's sake. So you might think that at the end of the day, what we're going to experience is going to be, it's going to be a redemption, but kind of like, you know, kind of begrudging. Like, I'm redeeming you, but, you know, it's not really like I want to, but, you know, hey, I have to do something for the sake of my name. At the end of the day, the experience of being redeemed will be an experience of love to the Jewish people. And that's a reward to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Didn't the Rambam, I'm not sure if it was the Rambam, he said, God, he says, why don't you bring Mashiach now? The world's not going to be any better any other time. Might as well bring it. I'm not sure if it was
the Rambam. It doesn't sound like the Rambam. It sounds more like Rabbi Yitzchak of Berdichev. Okay, now let's finish up. Then the bracha concludes Melech Oizer Umashiach Umagein. We call Hashem King, right? Hashem has the ultimate power over the world. Oizer, helper, Umashiach, savior, Umagein, and shield. What are these three things? What does it mean to be a helper, a savior, and a shield? What do these things mean? So Rabbi Kurzer explains, it means like this. Help means that when a person tries to grow closer to Hashem, he tries to grow in Torah and mitzvahs, he tries to repent, and his actions are actions that are getting him closer to Hashem, but on his own he can't get there. His actions get him somewhere, they get him kind of close, but at the end of the day, you need help to get over the finish line. You need help to get over the finish line. I'm doing something. I'm working hard. My actions, I am growing. But to reach the level, but to really get to the level where I want to get, My actions just, there aren't enough. They're getting me close, but they aren't enough. So what does Hashem do? He pushes me over the finish line. He helps me get there. Helps me get there. That's what it means, Ozer, helper. Umoshia, savior, means when you save someone, that means they're helpless, right? They can't do anything, and you save them. In this sense, Moshia means Hashem saves us. Hashem can save us from physical problems, right? From worldly problems. And it also means, this is also referring to teshuva, to repentance. It's referring to the idea that when a person does teshuva, when a person repents, so by repenting from a sin that you do, a person, when a person repents, he can be purified from his sin. We don't have the ability to purify ourselves from a sin. You know, from our part, we can regret we did a sin. And when we regret doing the sin, we show that we feel bad for what we did. But the damage, we could say, is done. The damage is done. The damage is done to ourselves. And we can regret and cry and say al chet. But, you know, how does that, is that, you know, but the damage is done. Can we remove the damage that happens when we do a sin? The answer is we can't, but Hashem does. When we do our part, when we show our regret and we repent, the purity that we come to, or looking at it a different way, the kedusha, that what we call sanctity, that comes from doing mitzvahs, right? Those are those concepts, those levels are something that we can't get to on our own. We can't. We have no connection to them. But this is something that Hashem bestows upon us. So Hashem saving us means that things that we cannot attain, Hashem gives us. We cannot attain purity from the sins that we've done, but Hashem gives us purity. That's Mashiach, that's Savior. Umagain shield means that Hashem prevents us from troubles. Hashem prevents us from troubles, whether it be physical troubles, physical problems, whether it even be spiritual issues. There is a concept that we have to look at, and we have to see Hashem as a protector. Not every time do we actually even understand what Hashem is doing for us. Not always do we. We have to believe that there are many times that we have, that Hashem has prevented us from getting into trouble. He has prevented us many a times. He's prevented us from problems because we did tshuva, and that now prevents any, that helps. That's a merit for him to prevent our enemies from attacking us, from hurting us, or other calamities or problems that can befall us. It also means that Hashem protects us from sinning. And there are many times in life that we have to believe, that we should believe, that Hashem is protecting us from the problems that we don't even know about. So we recognize Hashem as the King, as the Helper, as the Savior, as the Shield. We see Him doing all these things on our behalf, and He does all on our behalf because of the merits of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we conclude, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. Blessed are You, Hashem, Shield of Avraham. Why do we only mention Avraham? Why do we say Shield of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And the truth is that it's really based on the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, that I can't remember the words right now, but basically Hashem v'heyei brach, I think it says, you will be blessing. So Rashi brings down there that when the Jewish people conclude the first brach of the Shemona Esrei, they're going to conclude it with your name alone. But what's the explanation? Why, when we conclude the first bracha, do we only call Hashem the Shield of Avraham, the protector of Avraham? So Rabbi Kurzer brings down a beautiful explanation. This is something we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Our innate desire to serve Hashem, our innate quality of loving Hashem, that comes from Avraham, comes especially from Avraham. Avraham was ready to give up everything to serve Hashem. He was thrown into a burning furnace for the sake of Hashem. He fought with everybody for the sake of Hashem. Avraham had such a dedication to Hashem at such a level that he now put in us, in his descendants, that we will always have that spark within us, that desire within us to serve Hashem. And it's never going to die. There will always be that desire within us. It can be covered up and covered and covered, and we lose contact with it. But there's always the pintle of Yid. There's always the Jewish spark that's there. That spark came from Avraham, which means, and Hashem protects that spark within us. if you're a Yid and if you're a Jew and you have a Yiddish in the Shema, you receive the Torah, Hashem protects that spark within us. We never lose that spark. He protects that spark within us. So we should always have the chance to return to Him. And where did that spark come from? It came from Avraham. So therefore, we conclude the bracha of saying, of declaring Hashem is the Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham, means He's the shield, He's our shield. He's our shield to protect the spark of holiness that every Jew has within him, no matter how far he falls, in the merit of Avraham. That's the meaning of the conclusion of Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham. He shielded Avraham, and he shields his descendants in the merit of Avraham, in the sense that the spark of and desire to be close to Hashem always exists within the neshama of a Jew.
You mentioned that.